Well, good morning to each and every one. It's nice to be back with you this morning. I appreciate the opportunity that was provided to me to be away for a couple of weeks, one for continuing education and mission work, the other for some pleasure, and I greatly appreciate that time away. And I hope that as a result of that time, I'll be able to share some things with you this morning and into the future. Of the importance of relationships with other Christians, both here at home and around the world. I want to remind everybody that there are two very important sign-up sheets in the back of the sanctuary this morning. One is for this Wednesday's meal, which is at 5:30 in the Vine Community Center. There's still several items that we need for that meal, so please make sure to see that, sign up for that as well. And then again this year, we're going to have a combined Thanksgiving dinner. That means all of our church up here and our church downstairs on Wednesdays, we're all joining together for one huge Thanksgiving meal. I think last year we had around 100 or a little over, and so we have a lot to prepare for. And so there's already a sign-up sheet in the back of the sanctuary for that. And Deb Mullen and Steve are working on coordinating that particular meal. So let's all come together and make sure that we have plenty to eat and that we can serve everyone that shows up. And please invite your friends and family to participate as well. We look forward to a wonderful time of Thanksgiving and worship together. Also, not publicized yet, but it's up here on the screen, not in writing anyway, is beginning this month, we're going to start collecting for the Bond County Minister Alliance Christmas baskets. And so as in years past, all of the churches and organizations in the community work together to provide ingredients for a meal for people in need at Christmas time. And so this year, we've been asked to provide 100 cans of green beans, 100 boxes of cornbread mix, and then something new this year is IGA is working with us to come up with a ticket you can purchase for $30 each, or you can go in together with two or three people and all contribute toward it, and that will purchase the meat, the rolls, and the potatoes that will be put into those baskets as well. So you can start bringing those items anytime you want, and as soon as I get some tickets, I'll make those available to you as well. Also, a reminder that the World Mission Offering has concluded, at least the promotional phase of that. We're just $195 short. We'd like to make that up here in the next month if we could. I think we can do that, so let's work together. The envelopes are still around. Just make your check payable to the church and mark WMO in the offering. And then very important is that following service today, immediately following, we're going to be having our fall congregational meeting. The big portion of this will be to hear a proposal from the ministry board regarding a budget for 2026. And so we need everyone's input, your support, your questions regarding, and this will be the time to do that. So please make your voices heard, and you have the privilege to vote and then support that budget. Also, we'll be hearing some reports from the various ministries of the church. In addition, there will be a special business meeting, not this Sunday or next, but the following on the 16th, where at we will hear some a proposal for some amendments to the Constitution regarding times for meetings, as well as the ministry board and where we go from here. As you may recall, it was a two-year trial that we were working on, and that two-year trial comes to an end later this year. In fact, next month in December. That's right, next month is December. And so we need some input on that, and we'll share with you some of our thoughts and ideas as to where we think we should go. So I think that takes care of most of the announcements. Is there any that I have forgotten that were, I've been away for a couple weeks, so I might have missed something. We're okay? All right. Thank you very much, and thanks for being here today. Our scripture lesson this morning comes to us from the Gospel according to Matthew. I'll be reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, and verses 1 through 14. It'll be up here on the screen. You're welcome to follow along in your Bible apps on your phone or your personal Bible that you have along with you. Again, Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14, the parable of the wedding banquet. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" May God add blessing and understanding to the reading and hearing of his word. Perhaps you've thought about this before. Maybe you haven't. But if you read the story of the creation of man, followed by the creation of woman, you might have noticed that when God created all of the things, all the birds, all the trees, all of the people and all of those things, there was no furniture. There was no furniture for them. You might also know that there were no clothes for them, but that's another story for another time. But there was no furniture for them. There were no tables, there were no beds, there was nothing like that that was there. But somewhere along the way, humanity decided, you know what, we need some furniture. We need some place where we can sit when we're tired. We need some place to lie down when we're sleepy. We need some place to sit when we want to eat and when we have discussions and take care of the business within our household. And so furniture began to be part of the scriptures. And the first mention of furniture or a table in particular within scripture is found in Exodus chapter 25. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But it's interesting that even though God in the very beginning did not determine that there was a need for furniture, later on he would certainly use it. And he would put it to use in many different ways throughout scripture. And it's interesting, isn't it, that God chose Joseph, a carpenter, and that Jesus, his son, the son of God, the earthly son of Joseph, then also was a carpenter. And no doubt, the two of them built all kinds of furniture. They probably built farm machinery like the oxen would wear, the yoke around them, perhaps some plows. And some of you have some pictures in your minds of what those look like. The best picture that I have of that was there was a two-handed plow that my dad had. And it was wooden down the sides of it. And then there were forks on the end, and you would push that and roll that through to till up the soil. But perhaps there's others that you are thinking of as well. But the first mention of a table in Scripture in Exodus chapter 25 is a table that was that God instructed them to prepare for the tabernacle. The tabernacle, of course, is a place where the Jews would go to worship. That was their house of worship. And on that table, there was, on this table, it was to have upon it 12 loaves of fresh bread. Our table today does not have 12 loaves, but we have pieces of bread there. But those 12 loaves of bread, or like a pita bread, if you would, or like a taco shell, would be laid flat, unleavened. And it was to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, also, this table was to be very ornate. I would say that the current occupant of 1600 Avenue would like it very much because it was plated in gold. And I think that seems to be where things are going right now at the White House, with lots of gold being around. But this table would be there, and everybody would be see that table, and the bread would lie upon the table. It was also made of very fine wood. It was continually refreshed. Now, why did God instruct that there be this table prepared in the temple when he didn't need a table? He didn't need the bread upon the table. Why did he instruct the people, the Jews, to build this table of fine wood and gold? The reason that he did it was because he wanted a place where they could come to, a place where they could meet him, a place where they could gather for worship, where they could gather together as God's people. He didn't need those objects, but he certainly used them. That continues to this day. It continues to be a tradition. And it was also a foreshadowing of Jesus, who would later say, "I am the bread of life." So God didn't need those things, but they were put there. They were put there as objects of fellowship, of worship, of sitting, of eating and drinking and talking. These were the reasons that God designed a table. And those in the early time put it together in the Old Testament. There would be other tables within the Scriptures as well, such as the one we're most aware of in the biblical form, which would be the Passover table. You remember, of course, the story, excuse me, of God delivering the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. He did it through a series of plagues, the last of which was the killing of all of the firstborn sons. And so that continued and ended, though, there with that plague of killing those firstborn. And so that night then became known as the Passover, because the angel of death would pass over those homes where they had marked the door with the blood of the Lamb. And so that angel would pass over those places, and those children would be spared. God used the table in this experience to remind people to remember, to commemorate a circumstance, something that happened, and that they would have a special meal, and that they would do it every single year. It was an annual occurrence. And so we still have that going on today, the Passover meal. In fact, here in the church, we've had a couple of Passover meals where we brought in the chosen the ministry of the chosen, the Jews for Jesus, etc., and they've conducted Passover meals for us here. Again, as in the first occasion, it was a time for the people to come and to worship God. Also within Scripture, we find a table that speaks about negotiating, a table that we are here about in a very familiar and probably one of the best loved psalms of all time, Psalm 23. And we find there that you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And so you think that God has prepared this table and he's going to be there with you at that time. But you think about, again, the people of the biblical time. How easy is it to transport a table? And how easy is it to transport chairs? Well, it's not very easy. And so you've got a table and chairs, and you cannot transport these around. And you think about the people of the time and what they did. You've got shepherds. And we're approaching that Christmas season here just in a couple more weeks. And we've got shepherds abiding in the field by night. Nowhere does it say that they had tables and chairs. So we have that within Scripture. We think about farmers. How many of you that are farming right now have a table out in your field? How about it? Boyd, no tables out there, right? We were talking a little bit this morning about farming. No tables out in the field. Nope, they're not there. These people did not carry around these things with them. In this instant of Psalm 23, God is not having his people gather in front of the enemies, eating defiantly and saying, you know, in your face, God's providing for me and you're out of luck. That's not what is happening here. This is a table where people come to a common space with the idea that they're going to work out their differences. They are there to restore relationships, to encourage one another, to find out what their differences are and come to some kind of an understanding with each other. And there they would have a meal. There they would, as a meal, as a sign of trust. And just like that today, we gather with people at table. We gather with people because we want to interact with them in some way. We might have a difference of opinion with them, yet we sit down at the table and we try and we work things out. We confidently negotiate these things because why? Because the Lord himself is with us in the presence of our enemies. He is right there beside us. That is a wonderful thing. And then, as you know, today is the first Sunday of a brand new month, the month of November. And as our custom here at First Baptist, on that first Sunday of the month, we observe what we know as the Lord's table, or the Lord's supper, or communion. This was a new meal that Jesus proclaimed as he and his disciples were gathered in the upper room on that what we call Maundy Thursday. A new commandment he was giving, that they love one another. But in the midst of them having the Passover meal together, Jesus said, I want to give you something new to think about. I want you to remember and observe what's going to happen to me in the next days and hours. That they're going to put me upon a cross and there I'm going to die. And I want you to remember that. And so in Matthew chapter 26, verses 19 through 20, Jesus says to his disciples, so the disciples did as Jesus had directed and prepared them and prepared the Passover. And when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. Here again, the table is a place of worship. The table is a place where they would worship together. Yes, during the Passover feast in that time in the Old Testament, but later and in our time continuing on today, gathering at the Lord's table. Jesus took bread at that meal, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said to his disciples, take and eat, this is my body. And then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. These are some of the tables that we recognize from Scripture. These are some of the tables that God used from the very beginning in the Old Testament that are still being used in some fashion or another today, even though they were not part of the original design. Jesus would choose people, God would choose people to carry out his mission by completing and building tables. The next table I want to talk about is the one that's mentioned in today's scripture. And it's a table that is set for a special occasion. You know, there's an exciting time when we get together with family and friends and there's a wedding. And a lot of pre-planning goes into effect and meals are prepared and cakes are made and photographers are scheduled and the preacher's there and all of those things are taking place. But people would gather around afterwards and they would be seated at a table. And while Jesus was teaching his disciples and was sitting down with them at a table, he talked to them about the kingdom of heaven. And in many places within Scripture, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like. And here it would be like a banquet table, a wedding feast. It's a wedding supper of the Lamb, or the great supper of God, as you may have heard it called. And it's celebrated in heaven. It's the table that we all hope to be around someday, right? When God calls us home and we can all be seated around this glorious banquet table, and God is just loving us, and we are loving God, and we are there with the loved ones who have gone before us. We're worshiping God, we're praising God, we're giving him thanks, all at this great banquet table in heaven. But here, this table functions as a celebratory table. We're celebrating the fact that we're all together in heaven. And Jesus alludes to this table of celebration when he tells the story, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent out servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. And again, he sent out servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered and everything is ready. Come, come to the wedding feast. The wedding feast is a reference to the church. The church is the bride of Christ. That's you and me. We, the church, universal, are the bride of Christ. The wedding feast is a reference to that. The followers of Jesus Christ, those who are gathered around that table, those that have come to that table by faith in Jesus Christ, those are the people that are there. And it is at that table that there would be worship, there would be celebration, there would be fellowship and togetherness with Jesus, God's Son, who himself, I'm sure, must have built a few tables in his own day. This has a couple different meanings. If you know these passages at all, this is a third in a trilogy of parables that Jesus is responding to the Pharisees, about their concern about Jesus, as they were always worried about what he was up to. And so he's giving them an understanding of what he's talking about here. This, first of all, in this parable, it represents an invitation. You're invited. You are invited to the wedding banquet. You are welcome to attend the wedding banquet. That's God's invitation through you, and it's God's invitation that is extended to you only through faith and belief in Jesus Christ. That is how you receive that invitation and accept it. That's how you RSVP. Does anybody do that anymore? RSVP, that's how you do it. You accept Jesus and you accept his invitation to come to the table. And when this invitation is given, it's not only given to God's chosen people, although that was the case in the first invitation, but then it was extended to the Gentiles. The Gentiles are those people like us, all the rest of us, who weren't God's initial chosen people. But we were included later on. There's a warning within this parable as well that we should be prepared. That we should be prepared, and we should be prepared by putting on a wedding garment. As I reread this scripture and thought about it more, I thought I'd want to make sure I tell you that this isn't a statement about how you should dress for church. Okay? I just want to make that clear. But it looks like it's important, and it is important, that the wedding robe or the wedding garment was put on. It is a symbol. It is a symbol of righteousness. It is a symbol of the that you have accepted Jesus Christ, and you are therefore part of that table, that you are welcome to that table, that you deserve a seat at that table because of what Jesus has done for you upon the cross. So let's dissect this thing a little bit. Who's the king? The king is God. Who's the son? The son is Jesus Christ. The initial invitees are the Jews, the people that God, the king, first invited to come in. And we find in the scripture that these people rejected the invitation. They didn't show up. In fact, when messengers came to give them the invitation, they made their lives miserable and they took their very lives from them. They killed them. And then there was the second group of invitees. This is when the king, when God says to his servants, go out and collect anybody you can find. It doesn't matter who they are, and it didn't matter at that time if they were good or they were bad, meaning that everybody is welcome at the table if they accept the invitation through Jesus Christ. So both good and bad, but those who have come to an understanding of who Jesus is, and they are there at that table. All people are included. That man without the wedding garment, and those that rejected the message of Christ that day, it says that they were thrown out into darkness, into despair, where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is where they ended up. Why? Because they tried to sneak in. They're sneaking in without the wedding garment. And these are not only people who are bad people or sinful people. These are people who think they've got it made, because they accepted Jesus Christ. But hear this, he also says that you must continue to produce fruits. You must continue to follow Christ and live for him each and every day of your life. And so there's no slipping in the back door. There's no sneaking around and getting into the wedding banquet, because God the Father will recognize that. And then what happens to that person? They're there because they think they're good enough, because they have their own self-worth and their own merit, rather than accepting the righteousness, rather than accepting the goodness and the faith that is given to them through the invitation of faith in Jesus Christ. And so what are the lessons for us today? What is it that God wants us to get from all of this? You see, God offers salvation to every single person. That's clear in the scripture, both good and bad. Salvation and the invitation is given to everyone to come to the table. Come to the table. Everyone's invited. That's the beauty of, I think, the table, that everyone is invited. But there's a danger. And the danger is rejecting God's invitation. There are severe consequences for that. To be cast out, to be put in a place of darkness and despair, as those first group of guests were no doubt part of. There's also the necessity of preparation. I've said from here many times, you know, accepting Jesus isn't just your fire insurance to keep you from going to hell. We have to continue to live that example. We have to continue to walk with Jesus Christ. And so this warning that is here for us is a warning against apathy. It's a warning against pride. It's a warning against misplaced priorities. As you read in the scripture, some of them went off to their businesses. Others went out into the field. There were much more appealing things to do. There were much better things to do. There were ways in which they could make money. There were more ways in which they thought they could have more fun. And when the invitation came to the banquet table, they were too busy. Their priorities were messed up. God extended his love and his grace and his forgiveness to them, but they rejected it and they were thrown out into utter darkness. And it shows those who do and do not have the righteousness. And those are the ones, those who do not, will be excluded from the kingdom. I also want to make sure that you understand this. God is not the one that's doing the choosing. God is not the one who is handpicking who is in and who is out. Guess where that decision lies? It lies with you individually. What are you going to do about it? You see, God gives you the invitation, just like he did those first religious leaders and the Jews in the Old Testament book. They rejected it. That was their decision. That was on them. Today, the decision is much the same for you and for me. We can accept that invitation, or we can flat out reject it and say, no, I've got better things to do. I don't want any part of it. But you are the one making that choice. God is not making it for you. Make no mistake about it, the invitation of God to attend the great banquet in heaven is open to everybody, both good and bad, as it says in the scripture. You know, tables are very important. And I've been working with a clergy coach recently, and I've done some self-awareness studies. And the table has come up as something that's extremely important to me. I remember as a boy growing up being a member of the kids' table. Y'all remember the kids' table at Thanksgiving and Christmas? And what a big deal it was to graduate to the big people table. When you came of age and you got to sit with your mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and uncles and hear all the jokes and all the stuff that was going on at the big people table. Those tables were important. We're going to gather around those tables here in the next few weeks, both here at church and later on in your homes this month. There's all kinds of tables. There's game tables where you know, Doug Marty plays, what's the name of that game he plays? Trivial Pursuit, you know, and tries to win every single time. And yet this last time, I wish they were here today, Doris beat him. Doris beat Doug at Trivial Pursuit. There's all kinds of tables. But when you think about the various furniture that we have today, when you're sitting on a sofa with somebody, you're probably watching the game, having a cold drink, soda. You're reclined, you're relaxed, you're disengaged. It's not a good place to have meaningful discussions. But when you're around a table, preferably a round table, you're seated around people. And there you can engage them and you can meet them and you can have meaningful relationships. So I promised that I'd show a few pictures, and I appreciate Katie's help in getting these ready for us today. And so Brad, you got them ready to go? All right, I'm going to share a few pictures. You might recognize this crew. These are the chefs of First Baptist Church right here of Community Table. That is a table on the left-hand side of your screen. And there, we're not serving food. Wait a minute, what? We're serving love. We're serving warmth. We're serving acceptance and invitation. That's what we do at these tables. Yeah, there's food there. That's an aside. It's not really that important. But preparing it and preparing with love and the time that's put into it, it's priceless. Table on the right. Is it right? Is it on your right? Yeah, okay. I see things in backwards here. So on the right-hand side, these tables are full. These tables are full because people bring donations of clothing to give away. They're full because there's a dedicated group of women that come in and sort and fold and prepare, store, hang, all the above and more. And these clothes are given out all two times a week. Over 1,000 people will enter First Baptist's doors this year alone to go through the clothing closet. And from time to time, we have people that have had fires. We had that just recently, this last week, in fact, where someone needed to come in because they lost everything. We had someone who had a need for some children that were brought into their home unexpectedly, and they had no clothes with them. So these are two very important tables right here at First Baptist Church. I wanted you to see them again. All right, next. Now, these two tables are tables that exist in Italy. Both of these are in Florence, Italy. Those are pizzas, and they are good. And they are big, but if you can imagine, the crust looks huge, and it is, but the pizza slice itself is extreme, like razor and paper thin, okay? So there's not as much there as it looks like, and yes, I ate the whole thing. And I'm proud to say I did it. Think about those sandwiches we tried to polish off in St. Louis, Brad and Jim. I think you guys may did. I didn't do it. But anyway, this is a table. There's Patty, myself. Over here is Reverend Dr. Delano Benson, his wife Brinder. Then we have Reverend Dr. John and Amanda Good. We have Reverend Dr. Brian and his wife Julie. That was our team in Italy. Then if you look on the right-hand side, there again, some of the same exact people. This was our team that we took to Italy. Here we're meeting with our global servants, Reverend Dr. John and Amanda Good, as well as a picture, I think it might be on here later, of Alessandro. And Alessandro is the head of the European Union of Baptists in Italy. Next slide. On the left here is John Good, our global servant, and his wife Amanda in Italy. John is celebrating the Lord's Supper here, and he did it all in Italian. And last week, before we were there, a couple weeks now, he preached his first ever sermon all in Italian. Mind you that they were missionaries in Hungary before this, and they became fluent in Hungarian, and now they're working on becoming fluent in Italian. Then here on this other side, with partial face cut off and a little scruff going on there, is our team riding on a train from Rome to Florence. Okay, next slide. Then on this left-hand side, there is a table right there that sits in my home, where a little boy named Montgomery is enjoying a Coca-Cola. This is an important table in our house, all right? On the right-hand side, see, I told you, Monty, I was going to surprise you with a picture today. There on the right-hand side is the banquet table of an Italian Baptist church following worship, communion, and baptism. And look at the joy on those faces. And that was just a few of us right there, and there were more gathered around this entire, what we would call a fellowship hall. And that was the banquet table that day. Okay, I think that's it. Is there any more? Are there any more? Okay, go ahead. All right, and here, this was in Florence. This is a restaurant where we gathered to meet with the pastor. He's cut off over here on the left. His wife is down there at the end with a scarf on. This is where we met with them to further talk about partnership within the Great Rivers region and our cooperating churches. And then on the right there, good Lord, where is that at? I cannot remember. Where are we? Well, anyway, that's the rest of our team right there again. And I cannot remember where we're at that place. It's an odd position. Anyway, there you see some of the pictures. But the reason I chose those, and I could share many, many more with you, and you would recognize them all, different places that are special in Italy. But I wanted you to see people. I wanted you to see table. I wanted you to understand the importance of that. You see, when we gather around tables here on Wednesday night, here on Tuesdays and Thursdays for our clothing closet, for our meetings of the church, we gather there, not in a relaxed position, but we gather there where we can have meaningful discussion, where we can form partnerships, where we can help each other. The table is not just a place to meet. Hear that. The table is not just a place to meet, but it is a tool for building meaningful and Christ-like relationships. And so this morning, I would like to share with this congregation, our congregation, the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper. And when we were in Italy, And our global servant led us in communion that day. We did so around the table. We don't have enough space up here to do that. We don't have enough space to do it like we do traditionally at the end of a service, to come between the pew and the person against the wall. And so for this one Sunday, I've asked that we gather in the back of the sanctuary in a circle around the Lord's table. The reason for it is not just to do communion a different way or to have it in a different spot. On the contrary, the reason is that we can imagine as we worship around the Lord's table and celebrate and remember what Jesus did for us, and that we're all invited to that great banquet table in heaven, and we have a choice to make. And so today, it is my honor and my privilege as your pastor to invite you to share in the Lord's table. Those who believe in Jesus Christ are welcome. Those who are Christians, regardless of denominational affiliation or church membership, are welcome at the table. Remember, all are welcome. So please, as you can, as much as you can in an orderly fashion, begin to make your way to the back of the sanctuary and form a circle from the wall over there all the way to the door over here, and I'll meet you back there.
I will feast at the table of